I pray that I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Yesterday I was down in St. Albans and I was assessing sermons for people that had just completed the preaching module on the reader training course. So I did have the good grace to tell them that we record our sermons and so they can go through and assess this one should they care to listen to it afterwards. But if you think you're going to get the assessment sheets, you're sadly mistaken. This morning, we're looking at the kingdom of God, and the gospel reading that we had read for us gives us a couple of little cameos about what the kingdom of God is like. And as you read them, they're almost kind of Johannine, you know, from the Gospel of John in their subtlety and the way that Jesus positions the kingdom of God. And if they were in John, they'd probably be, you know, almost like a sign. Because it starts off and Jesus says, you can imagine people saying, so what's it going to be like? What's it going to be like? What's the future like? And it starts off and Jesus says, well, you know, it's a bit like there's this man, you know, he's throwing seed on the ground. And, you know, he goes and he sleeps and he gets up and he sleeps and he gets up. And eventually the seed, you know, it kind of grows. And then when the harvest is ready, you know, he goes and cuts it. And that's what the kingdom's like. And they think, well, that's a bit strange. Because what Jesus is doing is comparing what people would have expected about the kingdom to the reality of the kingdom that will come. We all know the Jews were looking for restoration of their kingdom in the way that, if you like, their kingdom had been restored in the past, where the rulers and the people had just moved in, Romans at the current time, you know, were all smashed and that, you know, they got things back to normal and the way they liked things to be. But Jesus says, actually, it's not going to be like that. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. Think about it, he says. You know, there's a seed. It goes into the ground. The man rises, goes to sleep. The seed, you know, that cycle of getting up, going to bed, getting up, going to bed. The seed, in that same sense, you know, rises up from the ground. It was dead in the ground and it rises up. And it's actually interesting that the word that's used for gets up is the same as the word that's used for resurrection. So it's like, you know, the man's resurrected each day, which is quite a nice way of thinking about getting up in a morning, really. But also the seed is resurrected. And you can see Jesus, this is, if you like, the subtlety where almost of the Gospel of John. Jesus is saying the kingdom is based on something that died, went into the ground, and rose again. Does that sound familiar? The kingdom's based on the resurrection life. The kingdom isn't based on military might. The kingdom is based on something that dies, goes into the ground, and is resurrected. And you can imagine, it's easy for us now with our post-Easter faith to think, oh, that rings a bell, that's Jesus. The kingdom is based on the resurrection of Christ Jesus, the resurrection we celebrated at Easter. We know the kingdom of God is based on that resurrection faith. We are an Easter people. But to the Jewish hearers, this would have been completely just a different way of looking at things. What do you mean it's based on something that dies, it goes into the ground and is resurrected? It's based on somebody coming and smashing the Romans. Well, it isn't. And that's partly what Jesus was saying. The kingdom is very different to how you might imagine it. It's based on not the cycle of man, the getting up and the going to bed, the getting up and the going to bed. It's not even based on the cycle of the harvest, which is biannual for them, annual for us. It's based on the cycle and the times of God. The kingdom of God might take a bit of waiting. It's certainly not what we might expect, but it is a very real kingdom that will come. And you can imagine them thinking, I'm not quite sure I get this. The other thing that Jesus is saying is that the seed goes into the ground. We don't hear that the man goes and tends it and waters it and pulls out the weeds. We just hear he goes to bed, gets up, goes to bed, gets up, goes to bed. The kingdom of God will grow. And the growth of the kingdom is God's responsibility. It's nothing to do, in this sense, with what man or woman or humankind will do. And sometimes we get into the way of thinking God needs to fit into our models of life and our way of thinking. And this is just another example of saying, actually, God will do what he wants. God will create that growth. God will extend his kingdom, irrespective of what life on earth and his creation chooses to do. Yes, you know, there's a real sense in which we can help or we can hinder the growth of that kingdom. But the message is really clear. The growth of the kingdom is not dependent on God's creation, on us. The growth of the kingdom is dependent upon God and God alone. And that's all in that first couple of verses in that passage from Matthew. A radical different interpretation of what the kingdom of God is going to be about. Not about military might, not about what men in that case can do with their strength and how they will grow the kingdom and how they will overthrow what they see as the rule of Rome. But it's based on God's timing. It's based on God's Son Christ being resurrected. And it's based on him alone for what will happen and its growth. And that growth is inevitable, and there's a sense in which us being here today is evidence of that growth, that that growth still continues. And then, as Jesus sometimes does, just in case they've missed the first bit, and I haven't quite got that, and they're still sort of trying to work it out in the mind, he then says, so, what's the kingdom of God like? What parable should we use? How should we describe it? And at that stage, Jesus is using words that the Jewish hearers will be very familiar with. Because one of the passages that everybody in the Jewish faith will be familiar with is the bit from Isaiah, post-exilic Isaiah chapter 40, which starts, comfort ye, my people. So we're all familiar with that. And in the middle of that, it says, so how shall we describe God? What shall we compare him to? Almost like, what parable shall we use to describe God? And you can imagine the hearers thinking, when Jesus says, so how shall we describe God? Those words are familiar. I know those words. They're familiar. And then Jesus veers off and he said, I know. It's like a mustard seed. And you can imagine, well, no, that's not what we thought. It is different. And Jesus talks about this little, you know, the tiny mustard seed that goes into the ground and then grows into this massive bush. And you know, you can imagine them thinking, a mustard seed. No, that's not quite what we thought. And then they make the link that actually the kingdom is about a God who comes and restores his people, because that's what the passage in Isaiah is all about. It's about a God who has come to restore, in the case of Isaiah's reading, Israel to their promised land. So they're beginning to get the message that actually this is something quite different, but it is based on the God that we worship, and it's based on a God who comes to restore his people. And then we have the image in the Old Testament, which we had read for us from the Ezekiel passage this morning, about this sense about nations being strong and being trees, huge trees, Oaks are often used. Cedars, the symbol of Lebanon, often used as a sign of strength, where birds and nations can find shelter. And Jesus says, it's going to be like that with a mustard seed. And yeah, mustard probably does grow bigger in the Middle East than it does here. But Jesus is using hyperbole. Mustard doesn't grow to the size of a cedar or an oak. From very, very small beginnings, from what is going on right now, from what's happening imperceptibly as God grows his kingdom, as we get the kingdom from something that goes into the ground, something that dies and rises, from that, that's what the kingdom is like, where nations, all nations, not just the Jewish nation, will find shelter, will find peace, and will find the way that they're to engage with each other and the world in the way of peace and in the way of God. A completely different way of looking at the kingdom of God. For ourselves, we're too sometimes guilty of perceiving and believing and having a model of how God will operate, of how God's kingdom is on our earth. And the challenge is that we too, like the hearers to the gospel message, need to have our concept of what God's work on earth is like, what his kingdom is like. Sometimes it's nothing like what we would expect. But it is God's responsibility, and God grows that kingdom as he wills on our earth today. And our challenge is to help and enable that, knowing that the growth is dependent on God alone. But our challenge is to help and enable that kingdom come so that people can live in that new creation that Paul talks about, which is the result of Christ dying, being buried, and being resurrected. But it's more than that, because we're called as Christians not to be observers of the kingdom. We are part of that kingdom of God ourselves. We need to have within us that resurrection life. We need to have that peace of God which is in each one of us, alive to his Son who died, went into the ground, and rose again and was resurrected. We too need to be open to the growth of God. We need to be dependent on God for his growth and then enable that. But we too need to be open to others so that they can find shelter in the kingdom that we offer. Just as the trees, just as the mustard seed offered that shelter for the nations of the world and for the people in those nations, so too we as Christians, as part of God's kingdom, as people who live that resurrection life, we too need to offer us our shelter and support to those who are in need. Offer the hand of comfort. Offer the word of support. Offer the kingdom of God as we experience it in our lives, so that others know and can come to know more fully that new creation that Paul speaks about, which is the kingdom of God breaking forth into our world and into our lives on a time scale that God chooses, on a time cycle that God chooses, with growth that God chooses, but which is promised as part of the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen.